What is up, dreamers?
Muffin!
Did you just say muffin?
Frothing!
Oh, what is it, frothing at the chops?
As in, I am frothing for this episode.
I was going to say, and, epileptic dog.
No dog. Speaking of frothing, froth is literally the only bit of notes I've got in my paper for this show.
Well, I've got to introduce the show first. Give me a
sorry.
Oh, so excited. Dear. It is the 22nd of May 2012. Oh, siren. Did you hear that?
Oh, yeah, they're after us.
Someone's getting burgled. And it's the sixth episode of Get Lucid podcast, the podcast all about lucid dreaming. My name is Joe, and once again, I'm with the illustrious Thomas Smith. How's it going, sir?
I am going fantastic.
Fandabby-dozy-tastic. That was a bit of a
mate, I feel like a fresh organic plum. I'm so juiced.
We've actually got loads to talk about. We haven't had an episode in what seems to be a year, but it's actually around a month. So we've probably got quite a lot of lucid juice flying about. I sure have. I don't know about you, mate.
Oh, I have, mate. You know it.
Well, we might as well get started on the lucid juice then. Like, what's been going on, sir? What has been going
on? Well, I mean, it's been in and out of dream recall, but I've got my dream journal here. I'll give you one fresh off the pack.
Let's hear it.
This is one where, like, I was in the back of, you know, Carol Regan's mum.
I do know Carol Regan's mother.
Yeah, she was driving me and Regan to work, as lovely as she is, you know, doing the rounds. And Regan's, like, at the time was being a cleaner for Wimbledon. So in the dream, he was in the front seat. And to represent the fact that he's a cleaner, he just had mop buckets and hoopers and fucking dusters, fucking poking out everywhere. It was like a massive mop head in my face where he's sitting in front. It was quite comical. And he got out to work, and as he got out, all these fucking like mops and shit followed him out. And then Carol's like, oh, come sit in the front. Sat in the front.
This sounds like a stupid version of Fantasia, where he can get out, all these mops and buckets are following him, like boop, deep, boop, deep, deep. Was that what it was like?
It was a little bit like that, except without music. I got in the front, and then Carol was like talking to me, and she was a little bit off with me. She was like, I don't know, she seemed a bit annoyed with me for some reason. And I was like, why is she angry at me? And when I questioned if she was angry at me, it kind of made me look around at what was going on as well. Mm. I was like, I don't think Carol drives. And I was like, why am I getting driven to work? And I was like, oh shit, dream. So then I was like,
she
became Carol.
Lucid from that.
I came lucid from that,
impressive,
which
yeah.
Pretty subtle, really.
Yeah.
Knowing, kind of thinking that Carol doesn't drive, yeah. Just, oh, lucid. But got out of the car, and then, I said to her, oh, look, don't worry about drop me off at work, just drop me off here, I'll walk the rest. So yeah. Got out, and then it was just fucking crazy. Like, it was just this open air environment. There's a massive brick wall, and there's like weird, just there's people about, but. It was very fuzzy, but I do remember seeing this huge wall. It was like the Berlin Wall. Right, it was massive. Yeah. Just sticking up in the dream scene. And I was like, oh, fuck it. I need to stabilize this because I didn't feel too like hunkered in the dream. So I picked up a chair and I just started eating it.
A chair?
Yeah.
This was your dream stabilization technique, was like, chair chomping.
Well, I've heard people like talking about eating stuff to stabilize dreams, and I really like that idea, right. But every time I do it doesn't really work.
No, you do. Like, you seem to eat quite a lot in your dreams, actually. You just
mate, there's nothing left. All there was this wall by the end of it.
You just ate everything.
So full up.
That is weird. No, like, eating stuff.
This is it. It's a really weird scene. Like, there's a few, like, it's like plastic chairs from sixth form just knocking about right. On the floor. I was like, right, I'll eat one of them. Started getting through the legs, and then I got onto the back of it, and then I was like, oh. It still felt very weak.
Right.
And I was like, right, well, that'll do. And then I just started throwing shit at this brick wall because I was just mucking about. I was just being a bit of a knob. just throwing bricks and just bits of shit at this wall. And I was like, yeah, I want some music. I want some like jazz music.
Yeah.
Like some big band, like old school swing music.
Yeah.
And like, as I intended it, just some heavy metal came on.
Oh.
I was like, oh, fuck it. It will suit the scene. It suits me.
Massive genre change, though, from the jazz.
I know, but it kind of suited me throwing shit at this wall.
Right.
But then, you know, inevitably, I just, the whole scene just fucking went on itself. But again, like, you're lucid, but you're not really thinking clearly. Like, I was just having fun, but in that situation, considering I hadn't been lucid in a while, it would have been nice to focus on stabilising it a bit more and maybe explore the scene rather than me just fucking looking at a wall for 10 minutes.
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's like half our problem, I think, at the moment, is that, you know, it's not like we're completely new lucid dreamers anymore. We are at the point that when we get into lucid, like, I know for a fact I have quite a few lucid dreams. I just completely forget about them half the time. Like, I know I'll wake up and I'll be like, oh, I was definitely lucid. And then you fall back to sleep and then you wake back up and you're like, oh, no, I was lucid, but I don't have a clue what it was. And that happens quite a lot with me. I'll wake up in the middle of the night and be too lazy to write my dream down or to, you know, record it on a voice memo or something like that. And because we were going to do that, but I couldn't get anything down.
I tried that once. I woke up there and I had the dream in my head and I was like with the record button and I was like, I fucking can't say this because like these walls are paper thin.
Just whispered.
The flatmates would have heard. So what I did was I did like a sort of just like undercover dream journal record on my way to work because I got the train in that day. So I walked out of the flat because the alarm goes off. I have to get ready to go. So I have the dream in my head walking on the road. And I started to press record, and it looked like I was doing a phone call on my iPhone.
Yeah.
So I was just walking down the street recording my dream. But obviously, I was trying to explain it, and I was like, yeah, and then I fucking picked up this dog. And then I said that as I was walking past a bus stop, and I was like, oh, I can't continue this. People think I'm nuts.
I've just had a really cool thought. It's like, like, obviously, a lot of the time, especially when you're working hard and stuff like that, when you wake up, and it's quite like an instantaneous thing from an alarm rather than you waking up naturally. And it kind of like jolts you. So like, what about if you recorded your own alarm that said, write down your dream, write down your dream, write down your dream, write down your dream. Like, instead of it just
being, don't worry about your porridge, write down your dream.
Instead of it being like, that's not an alarm. Don't know where that came from. Don't think I've ever heard an alarm make that noise before in my life.
It's like a fucking old ghost.
What's that?
What was that?
Oh, my knees and my hip. No.
Please get up.
Please get up. Get up or I'll possess you. You couldn't possess a plate of spinach, you twat.
What you talking about?
So, like, imagine if you had, like, an alarm that was like, remember your dream. Write your dream down. Please remember your dream. Like, over and over.
Yeah, and then, like, you start getting ready for work. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? Write down your dream! Sit back down.
Fuck the porridge. Get ready. Like, oh dear, it's
like, because obviously, I think that would help because my alarm goes off. It's like beep 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 beep,
and that's
and
it.
Instantly, like, fuck, get ready, go.
Just reality just dawns on you. It's like, oh
yeah,
no.
Like, no, it's an explosion of the mouth. Yeah. It's ridiculous. It's like those mints.
What mints?
The extra strong
ones.
Oh,
those ones. I thought you meant those little paper ones that you placed on your tongue.
Garlic. To minty fresh in a second.
They're ridiculous. I'm gonna try this. I'm gonna record my own voice. I mean, as if I don't do that enough already, the amount of hours we've recorded of our own voice. I'm getting bored of my own voice, it's shit. And so now I'm gonna be waking up to my own voice going, write your dream down, mate. Be careful there. Write a dream down. And if it works, if I keep waking up to my alarm and instantly remembering my dream, I'll just release my stupid bullshit recording of me saying, write your dream down, like, over and over again. I think it could work.
As an alarm clock ringtone.
Alarm clock ringtone.
But the thing is, like, you've got to allow some time to write down your dream. You've got to allow at least 10, 15 minutes. So you should set it earlier. Otherwise...
Oh, how long are you writing?
Oh, mate, well, you know, it's up to you, isn't it? Like, people are different.
Well, I mean, you can do the bullet point thing. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, slap
it
down.
It doesn't matter how you note your dream down, as long as you note down key points. Because that's the important part.
Yeah,
but I think the whole waking up really sharply and not remembering like to do your dream or anything like that. It's actually a proper.
I can just
go on.
I can just envision you though, like waking up from bed and then your alarm's going, write your dream down, mate. Please write your dream down. Write your dream. And you're just putting your socks on, fucking getting ready to work.
Yeah, but at least, walk out the house. At least there's something there. Because at the moment, what will happen, right? I'll wake up.
And then the alarm goes like, oh, he didn't write it down. Waste of time.
Wasteful. No, but like what happens at the moment is I wake up in the morning and I just hear the alarm and bolt upright, like, almost bolt upright and go, well, I don't. I lay in bed for a bit, but I forget about my dreams completely, you know. And I think all you need is that little bit of a reminder. If it was remember your dream, write your dream down, if that said that on my alarm, I actually think I'd lay there and go, shit, what was my dream? And I've got way more chance of remembering my dream by lying there in the morning and being reminded about it than I have going in about a half an hour on the way to work going, now what was my dream? Like, I think it would work. I'm gonna give it a go.
Yeah, man, definitely. And then I can't bother to make my call, so can I have your one?
Yeah, you can have my one.
Sweet.
If anyone else wants mine, then just have to say. Oh dear, we'll have to do something.
So how'd it go with you, mate, dream wise?
Like I said, I know I've been lucid, but I cannot remember for the life of me what they were, which is frustrating. But at the same time, it's my fault for being an idiot and just not writing any of my dreams down. I do have some like pretty prominent actual dreams. Like, did I ever tell you about the one? When I was going to buy a tennis racket. I'll tell you about that one.
Mate, I can't remember all your dreams.
Well, I remember I was just worried that I've said it on the show already. I don't think I have. Basically, what happened is, like, me and my flatmate Duig, like, mine and Smith's mate from school, we...
Oh, fuck, I think I do know this one.
Basically, like, me and him play tennis, like, all the time. All the time, non-stop. And,
Tennis obsessed
massively. Ever since Wimbledon, it's just running from my veins. It's ridiculous. So I went to buy a tennis racket, a new tennis racket, which I was planning on doing in real life at that time. And yeah, I walked into like the shop and there was like a massive line of tennis rackets. And I was like, oh, right. And then I kind of thought to myself, actually, you know what? I'll buy one tomorrow. I'm not going to worry about it. And then I almost skipped a day in my dream. So like it felt as if I'd come back and it was the next day when really it wasn't. It was the same dream.
Oh, you did the time thing.
I don't know how that worked. I think I just kind of walked out of a room and then walked back in and was like, right, it's the next day now.
like a play.
Yeah, obviously it was completely, I was completely oblivious to it because I had my dream logic on. I was probably like, oh, that day went quick. I must have been quite busy. And then like I sort of walked into the shop and none of the tennis rackets were there. And I was like, they were here yesterday. I went over to like the shop assistant.
Serious.
Yeah, I was just livid with myself that I just why didn't I buy it the day before? So I walked over to this shop assistant and I was like, look, mate, there were fucking loads of tennis rackets on this wall yesterday. I can't believe there's like three and they were like kids or women's ones. I don't really want to play with a kids or women's one. And he was like, oh no, it's all right, mate, they're all in the back, we're just swapping the seasons over, like it's all the new range coming in. I was like, oh, all right, cool. He was like, if you just wait here, I'll get the security guard to take you around the back to the warehouse. I was like, wicked. So I like brought all my mates over. I was like, lads, I'm going around the back to check out the old rackets and get some cheap ones. And they were like, oh, wicked. We're gonna carry on looking at this new batch. And as I sort of looked away, they were putting the new rackets on, and I was like, this is stupid. What a stupid dream. And I walked out back, right? And I should have literally. There's so many moments where you just could have easily got lucid. But because it's all surrounded by this bullshit story that your like mind's created, that you just sucked in. It's like watching EastEnders. You just get involved in such bullshit, and people get obsessed with that program. They're like,
I think it's real. Yeah, they
just think it's wicked. They actually think it's a real drama when really it's a pile of dog shit. And and yeah, basically, it's the same as all of them stupid shows.
People think Pat Butcher's a real.
Yeah, they thought she died in real life. When really she didn't. She just, you know, she dropped her earrings down the sink. I don't know. I'm making that up.
For those of you who don't know Pat Butcher from EastEnders, she is renowned for having massive earrings.
Proper dangly ones as well. Not
they are ridiculous.
Not the average dangly.
They're like two weights.
They literally look like someone's got a dart and just dangled it from her ear. Anyway, Pat Butcher. what were we talking about? Oh yeah, that dream. off topic.
Yeah, so he went round the back to get the old ones,
and then I kept seeing like all these old faces, like Luke Perry from school, and all sorts of random old people from school, and they were like, "Yeah, they're all through here." And you know where I ended up actually going, Smith, was, you know, in Wimbledon, you've got like the downstairs bit, the undercroft, and like the tunnel, the buggy tunnel. Yeah. I walked into that, and I was like, "This isn't the back of this shop."
This is a massive like.
This is a massive hangar for like massive lorries. I was like, "This is Wimbledon," and then it just about clicked, and I woke up. I was like, "Ah, fuck!" Like,
oh mate, yeah. It's like the climax of a TV series. This is Wimbledon. Dun, dun,
fuck. So I kind of technically got lucid in that one because I realised it was a dream, but I woke up instantly. But I've been having a lot of problems with false awakenings again. I don't know about you, just mass false awakenings all over the shop. Unbelievable.
I haven't seemed to have false awakenings for a while, but the weird thing is, because I've moved house, like, this must be my second month, I haven't had a false awakening, so I haven't actually been lucid in my new bedroom. So I'm well looking forward to that moment.
I get false awakenings all the time. I'll wake up in the middle of the night, and I've pretty much trained myself to do a reality check on wake up now. Doesn't matter when I wake up. I do one on wake up. It just happens. It just naturally now. And I do them all the time. And I remember myself just waking up like three times in a night and just getting really frustrated with myself that I've had a false awakening again. I've actually got like quite a big problem with just false awakenings all the time. And you know what? We might as well move this into our second topic of today, because me and Smith actually ended up going to see Robert Wagner speak, the old Wagon Wheel, in London on Friday.
In London. We saw him in the flesh.
Oh, it was brilliant. He gave a two-hour like seminar, like a talk, and me and Smith attended. Right at the front row with our notepads.
Right in front of the pew?
Yep. It was in a massive church. It was quite ironic. It was good fun. And so like we saw Robert Wagner, and he was even chatting about what I was chatting about, which I've forgotten. I can't believe I've forgotten that.
Mate, I'm getting massive robot this end.
Are you? It's all right, yeah, but I can't hear it your end, so it's all good.
Brilliant. I'll just pretend that I can understand what you're saying.
Yep. So so we saw Robert Wagner, and he was chatting loads of stuff about dreams, obviously. That's kind of the whole topic that we went for. But so we might as
well. It was a good turnout, weren't it?
It was a massive turnout. There were so many people.
Loads of people. I'm glad we got there early.
Yeah, front row.
Literally went to the shop, nectar ginger beer, and then straight in the Baptist church for a two-hour seminar on lucid dreaming.
The thing is, he's quite a leery bloke as well, which
he was cracking out the back to.
He cracked jokes out about naked women and all sorts of crazy shit. And he didn't hold back on a lot of his lucid dreams, and they were quite amusing. And it did, you know, really get my hopes up. That there's more to lucid dreaming than the proper seminary. Yeah, to lucid dream, you must just go within yourself and become an amazing person. Like all that shit. Like
Robert Wagner, self-help book.
Yeah, he was proper down to earth. Like Sean Oliver has already said to us. He said like Robert Wagner was just a dude who sort of did it by accident and became this ultimate lucid dreaming god. And yeah, he had so much to say. Like, you want to chat about anything that he said in particular, Smith?
Well, for those of you who haven't read his book yet, which definitely recommend, he recaps like the main topics of his book, but went into more depth. And like we said with the women, the really funny thing was when he was describing like how he, when he first got into it, he's basically exactly like how we react to it.
Yeah, totally.
Like it was all about the women, basically all about a sort of wish fulfillment and like really just really getting deep involved in having good fun and just getting on all the women.
Yeah.
So it was nice to relate to, like, even though how old is he now?
I don't know, he must be 40 odd at least.
Yeah. He's 40, so like he's probably got a wife and shit, so he's not too worried about getting the pussy in the dream willy nilly,
you know. That. I knew that was going to come as well. I should have preempted it. Just muted you halfway through that sentence.
So it was kind of nice to hear from that, you know, everyone goes through the same loops, and now he's developed, he's been doing it for many years, and he's managed to get so into it that he can have all these crazy experiences, like feeling his feeling tone, which we'll get into later.
Oh, that was actually no. We might as well chat about that, because he was pretty much what he was saying is that once you get over the huge novelty of lucid dreaming, which obviously me and Smith are still in that honeymoon period, where we're trying to do pretty much the most outrageous sexual acts and the most outrageous acts full on. So once we get over that novelty and achieve our outrageous sexual acts goal, then, you know, he started going on about how to try and find your inner self.
You can have these experiences that are just, you know, I can't really think of a name for it, but like you're going beyond like the ego. You're really getting connecting with yourself, yeah. I guess.
Well, and also it's to your inner whatever you want to call your subconscious or your inner self or your.
It's more like the higher calling in life, rather than just, you know, going for these desires that you've got on the go.
It's just stripping down the ego, like you said.
So an example of that was how he read about this thing called the feeling tone, which
hang on, before you say that, the feeling tone, wasn't that in the book that we can't pronounce the guy's name? Which book was it that he was talking about?
Oh, I ain't got my notes with me.
Helpful.
Is it
Castanendes?
Castanendes, one of the big players.
Yeah, I think it was one of his books where he...
Oh, we are awful.
I know, we are bad. But it was, I'm pretty sure it was one of Castanendes' books about talking to... isn't it something of Zatlan or something? You've read the book, Smith.
No, it's not that book. Journey to Ixalan or whatever. It's not that book.
Oh, is it not?
It's not that.
Well, it was a book about how a guy had to try and find his like higher self, his inner self. He sort of searched around and had started talking to, like, I don't know, they were like shamans and stuff. So he chatted to one bloke, got his opinion on it, and he said, you know, try and find your feeling tone, and that's what came out basically. And
Robert Wagner's experience of this feeling tone was basically this elaborate experience of he shouted out to the dream, hey, you know, just casually, I want to feel
casual,
my feeling
very
tone.
Casual.
And basically, he almost lost his identity. By the way, he explained it to me, it sounded like he lost his sense of self. Like it came apart from him. So he was just pure awareness, pure consciousness. But his actual identity and what he thought he was had left him.
It was actually a wicked explanation, because he was talking about how he almost got well pulled into like nothing. And then from that, he was just, like you said, just consciousness. And then, but he wasn't, he felt that he wasn't strong enough to be the consciousness of the room or the area or anything like that. So he focused, like he was focused in on as being the consciousness of someone else whilst they were still conscious within themselves. So he was almost tagging along for a ride in someone else's body. And that guy was trying to piece him back together to create, you know, to get him back. And that was the way he experienced it. But the feeling tone, he also said, was he described as, some people call it, you know, what's the mantra, you know, the chant, is that right, Smith?
The chant?
Mantra. Yeah, the mantra. He said that feeling tone could be that tone, that mantra that people hum.
Oh, yeah, because basically the way he said, when he experienced these feeling tone, his whole body was vibrating and shaking vigorously, like, it got really, really intense energy. Yeah. And then that's when he started to break away and lose his sense of self. In fact, he did go in to say that he actually was kind of concerned because he couldn't even remember who he was for a slight moment. And he kind of, like, it almost felt like he was lost, because he had no... And I guess it's quite a scary feeling if you lost all your identity of yourself in this, even though it's in a dream, like, you know, it must be completely quite freaky. Even though he loved the experience by the sound of it, but the whole vibration state, he kind of mentioned that it could be some sort of, that could be a, like you said, Joe, like a chant or something that links to that vibration.
Well, he said it was almost like a personal tone, didn't he? Like that you couldn't really.
Yeah, and he was saying, like, we all have these different tones. We all produce personal tones that are different to us. We all have a different, unique feeling tone. But then, a woman raised a point saying, well, How do you know your feeling tone's the same all the time? You might get this experience and it changes periodically. And then,
but she also did say that we should all go and visit her sink tank or whatever they're called. Massively.
She asked this question about the old feeling tone, yeah. And then she tagged in because she does these like flotation tanks, doesn't she?
Yeah, that's it.
Where you can go in and it's like pitch black and they put your body in water and you've basically got no feelings, no senses. It's all cut off. And then that's where you go into this sort of dream state and it gets really hyper real.
Oh, and she proper advertised that.
She whacked out a massive advert because she ran the match. And I'd just like to add, if anyone likes to get on the float boat device, it's www.floatboat.com.
And Robert Wagner.
Till January.
Robert Wagner was so funny. He was like, brilliant. Yep. That's. And then he kept like repeating the website. He's like, so that's www. Like, proper loud as if proper ripping the piss out of her. But yeah, that was quite an interesting topic. I was going to talk about what he said about Shadowsmith because... It's really weird because he brought Shadows up and we'd literally, in the last episode, before we even talked to him or, you know, went
when
to
When he said Shadows, you looked at me like a beetroot.
Oh, I was just like, I can't believe he said that. Like, especially after, you know, immediately we've literally just been chatting to people about it and we've had quite a few emails actually talking about people's shadows. And he said he had an experience with shadows and didn't he, like, create the shadow into a person?
Well, he basically was kind of saying that the shadow's usually behind you, because he was saying that shadows in dreams represent this sort of, this, like, the negative side of things, right. Basically. It was, like, your, like, sort of, like, the shadows that you see in dreams are kind of your issues you've got, personal issues or problems that you've got buried deep down and stuff. And he mentioned, like, when he confronted this shadow, that like came up to me. He described it as sort of like a Tasmanian devil.
That was it, yeah.
And at first he was kind of shocked to see the shadow thing coming towards him. I don't know if it was actually him or if he was telling a story about someone who had this experience, but he was saying that he realised that the shadow creature wasn't trying to get him. He was trying to like in a vicious way, it was trying to just be near him because it was so neglected. It was these issues and stuff that just were completely ignored and buried deep down in the person. So then he like projected sort of compassion onto it and
gave it a hug
and it ended up turning into like a small child. Gave him a hug, yeah. And he was like saying the best thing to do if you ever get confronted with these sort of dark twisted creatures or I'm guessing it applies to anything, but he was talking about mainly shadows, wasn't he?
Yeah.
To just project compassion onto it.
But he did say that about nightmares as well. A lot of people that he'd talked to that had nightmares.
Yeah, he proper emphasised the old compassion.
Well, it's the fear and love choice, isn't it?
And that usually sorts everything out.
It's the fear. It's the classic fear and love choice. Like, fear. You either choose
and
the root
and
of fear.
It's so
or love.
It's so easily. It's so easily said than done, though, isn't it? Now, if like a mug just came up to you, nicked your wallet, and tried to stab you, and you're like trying to project compassion onto him.
Yeah.
Like, it's fucking hard.
Yeah. Well, it's hard. But, it's hard in this world because we're so attached to the ego. So that wallet to us is really important. When obviously, really, it isn't. You know, that money and all that shit's made up. But it's the passion. To somehow project the passion on that person. Passion? Did I just say passion? Compassion. Project the passion.
Compassion.
Just get your knob out, wave it about.
You could
be passionate. You could be passion.
Just give him a passionate kiss.
Yeah, there you go. Just passion. But, kiss that knife. Slice. But yeah, no, so he chatted about that, and it's basically the classic fear or love choice, and I think you can look at that throughout dreaming. But what I found really weird was, he said a lot of stuff, but he also talked about expectation and how expectation is massively emphasised in dreams. And if you expect something to happen, it will. And I think what he's saying about everything is almost giving people guidelines to expect. So I'm not actually going to, you know, necessarily believe anything he says. I'm just going to take it as his experience. And I'm going to try my hardest to stay neutral throughout my dreaming sort of career.
Yeah, because because obviously we've got a strong attachment to Robert Wagner in dreams. Anything that he says on whole dream things, we're going to have a slight subconscious effect on our expectations.
Exactly.
Which is the problem.
That's what I mean. So you've got
like when you said, like, I want to experience my feeling tone, you said you're kind of worried that you might get the same experience as Robert Wagner. And that's where on the line of, well, could you experience some of his feeling tone?
Oh, yeah, that was it. And
mental.
Who did you say? whose did you say that you wanted to experience?
Well, I was like, you could just experience Tommy Cooper's feeling tone.
Tommy Cooper's. Yeah.
See how his one feels. It would just be like a massive, like, circus display or something.
Yeah.
But, oh, man, this is mental. It's getting proper deep.
Deeper. Dial like 9
deep
for
pan
deeper.
Pizza.
Oh. She, there's so many, oh. You there, Smith?
Yeah.
Oh, he's...
Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, he had loads and loads of topics. Like, one topic I really enjoyed, because I've kind of shot it down before in the past, was the whole bit about lucid healing. And,
oh, mate, this...
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, before, I only had Smith explaining it to me, so it was... wasn't as fulfilled as the veteran that is Robert Wagner. So, obviously, Smith's so juiced all the time. You're always so juiced that you were just like, yeah, lucid healing, blah, 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 blah. And then I was like, brilliant. Lucid healing. Sounds like a load of bullshit, Smith. But then, obviously, when I sat and, like, listened to Robert Wagner, it was way more sort of focused, and he talked about experiences and what other people had experienced and how he felt lucid healing, you know, sort of formed. And it got me thinking about the subject myself whilst I was sitting there. So, like, in the halftime break, I sat and talked to Smith about how I felt lucid dreaming could be affected, and what it could be doing that creates this sort of physical / otherworldly bond, because that's kind of what it's doing. It's kind of breaking that boundary of being able to do something in the dream world and it actually physically affecting your body, your physical body, because that was the bit that I had a real struggle with, not believing, but wrapping my own head around, really. I don't know what, because you've always kind of thought it was a cool thing. So what was your opinion on what Robert said about lucid healing?
Well, I haven't read his book and stuff, and like, I know he's, that's one of his main focuses. Like, I've kind of always thought that it's possible, but not really knowing how. Like, I know that you can go into a dream, and he kind of just described it as whatever felt natural at the time for you to heal yourself. Yeah. It's kind of the best thing to do, and he talks about using light and stuff. But you're basically just in the lucid state, you're creating something that symbolizes healing for you. So, like, people just, like, create this ball of light and then place it over the injury or whatever, or some people would, like, put their hand in their heart and just wrap their hand around the heart and stuff, and it's symbolic, and you can understand that, like, sort of the power of the mind or whatever will help to heal it. But yeah, like you say, how does that actually physically manifest right from that state to that state? And what you said, I thought, hit the nail on the head.
Well, the way I kind of, like, was logically, the thing is, obviously, this you can't really approach lucid dreaming in a logical sense. Like, you have to have, like Robert Wagner himself said, you know, you've got to have really flexible beliefs. And I totally agree, but to wrap your head around such a complex idea, I kind of had to try and relate to it in a way that you know, made sense to me in this reality. And the way I sort of looked at it was that every time something happens in the subconscious, you know, it reflects to the physical body, because the subconscious kind of controls a lot of the parts of our body that we don't. If you look at, like, obviously our heartbeat, there are people that can train their heartbeat so they can control it and turn it on and off, but those people must have pretty good control of their subconscious. I don't know, but and I know it's quite a disciplined practice to be able to do that sort of thing. But, you know, like fighting a disease, you don't get hit in the leg and go, shit, guys, quick, I've been shot in the leg, like, send all my antibodies down there, send all that platelets.
You're not thinking that.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
it.
Platelets, quickly start making a scab. Like, you don't purposely think that. That's kind of all.
We haven't got time. We haven't got time for the top layer. Just leave it. Just leave it. The white blood cells in there now.
Like, there's none of that. And it's not like, you know, you're just having a cheeky wank and you're like, come on, sperm. Come on, get ready. You're going to go for the race. Like, there's so many different little.
Oh, I think
you might do, but that's because you're perverse.
Come on, boys.
So, you know, and so if you've got that direct link to your subconscious, which the dreaming plane seems a way more easier method to contact your subconscious in some way, or your inner self, or whatever you want to call this. And, you know, if you almost alert that being that, you know, you've got a sore knee because you fell over and skidded, and you got a, you know, a bad bang knee and you can't play any more tennis and you want it healed quickly, then if you just tell him, oh, well, in my dream, I want some healing on my knee. And I don't know, the way that I logically thought about it was that maybe that just alerts the subconscious to try there.
Subconscious, yeah. You're in the loop. You are direct contact with subconscious. Yeah. So you're kind of, yeah, like you're saying, you're giving a bit of a heads up, like, lads, can you fucking sort out this verruca on my foot?
But obviously, we're using really mundane illnesses, but, you know, if you've got something like cancer or some incurable disease, he gave some wicked examples.
But
go on.
The subconscious is like an area that we just don't understand. So it kind of makes sense to do it like in this sort of abstract way of getting this ball of light and putting it on your foot or whatever. Like, that is a message to the subconscious to tell your body to sort it out. I guess, I mean, it's just a theory, but I really like
that. Yeah, I mean, it was the only sort of logical explanation I could think between sort of the two planes of reality. Because otherwise, there's no... obviously I'm thinking very physically rather than metaphysically, so that could be just a load of bullshit, and really the whole thing's all as one, and the reason it works in that one is because you expect it to work, so it works in this side, and maybe it is all just interconnected and all this, but that becomes very spiritual then. So just that's my interpretation of just the whole thing. Obviously it's not fact or anything like that, so don't go thinking it's fact. Anyone should email us in and tell us what your interpretation of it is. Lovely.
You're going to be like Frontline News, like, Lucid Joe has discovered the secret behind healing and lucid dreaming.
Magic. So yeah, that's, we could go on and on and on for hours, but we've got more stuff to chat about.
I'd say the one thing, right, because basically it's fucking random, but like there's this little church where I work in London, and they do talks about lucid dreaming, OBEs, and like
projection,
meditation, astral projection, all the fucking time. Like, every week there's a talk. So like, the week before I went and saw Jürgen Dreisinger.
Before we carry on, mate,
the book Martial Man.
Before we carry on, you have got massive robot voice.
Yeah. Well, massive robot. It's just
So right, guys. We're gonna cancel this and we'll refresh this bad boy. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Back.
Had some technical issues there, but it should be all sorted out now. I fucked up. I had my computer running on wireless when it shouldn't have been, and there we go. So everyone should be able to hear Smith perfectly fine now, and I'm pretty sure you were chatting about the Jürgen Weiss talk at the church that beforehand.
Yeah, basically, I mean, I'm writing an article on it, but the couple of weeks beforehand, I went to the same place.
Yeah.
And Jürgen Zeiss, I think that's how you say his name, did a massive, massive talk on OBEs and basically his experiences and what, you know, he found out about them. But when he
it was the reason I was at Robert Wagner talk as well. So like we had some big players in the house. So pretty good occasion. But yeah, he wrote this book, Multidimensional Man, and he was kind of saying that he's been doing a strict meditative practice for like over 40 years, and that he found was what really helped him get to these states. Like having these experiences. And this theme followed on because when Robert Wagner was talking, he really did put an emphasis on one point on and meditation and the practice of meditation and how it has such a good effect on attaining lucid dreams. He was really like saying, you know, this is the stuff to do. And he said, if you really want a good experience, meditate inside a lucid dream.
He did say that.
He says, because from my own experience, I mean, I don't know that much about meditation, but I know that you can get to some quite intense euphoric feelings.
Well, what he said was, if you want your mind blown, meditate in a lucid dream.
You want your mind blown, kids, then meditate in a lucid dream.
It doesn't sound like that. It's proper stereotypical American. You want your mind blown? Lucid dream. Yeah.
Buy me now.
Oh, we're back.
$9.95. Lucid dream.
Meditate inside the lucid dream. Oh, I think we've.
You thought that was wild. Check this out. Take it too far.
Mind is blown. My mind is blown. Robert Wagner, you cad. He's blown my mind once again.
Oh, yeah. Dear.
So yeah.
Robert Wagner did say it. So you want your mind blown, then meditate, lucid dream. He said, I think he said it's like nine times. When you get to the experiences, it's nine times the heightened level.
Yeah, I don't know he got that number from. I don't know if you sat there and thought he was like, it's exactly nine times the amount.
I think he was just rolling with the old. Do you want your mind blown?
Yeah, but it was like, just probably made me laugh that it was specifically nine times the amount of intensity.
Yeah, it's like 70% lower fat in cheese. It's just something like that. He got too carried away.
Part of it was that someone in the audience later on questioned. They were like, you said it hi Robert, you said that it actually was nine times as effective. Does that mean you can learn a skill in a lucid dream? And I was cracking up. I was like, why did he have to mention the nine times?
It's like, not only can I play guitar better, but I can now play it better nine times better than before.
Buy it now for $9.95. Overdone it.
This sex is nine times better. And half the time, it's fucking weird.
Fucking weird. Oh, so I was, you know, that was the one. I was going to ask him a question about sex, but I thought I probably shouldn't. But I was going to say,
it was
sex nine times better in a lucid dream, but I didn't. That wasn't the question I was going to ask. I was going to talk
about perspective. It is if you don't get it regularly.
Well, it's nine times better, definitely. But I was going to ask him about perspective and say, like, you know, I've had mental lucid dreaming sex, the most weirdest perspective, like outside the body, all sorts of crap. And I was just wondering what your opinion is on perspective and how, you know, we sort of exist in other perspectives and at the same time in our own body. That was kind of like the question I was going to ask.
Why didn't you ask it?
Because
then?
You asked your question.
Well, the microphone was there for everyone.
It was, but, you know, it was getting passed about.
But basically, back to the topic was like the whole meditation thing. I think that's definitely something worthwhile doing in like, I know we'll say dream journal and reality test, but I think meditation is probably up there with those because I know we don't do it a lot, but these big players, and you see it, like if you look at the Tibetans, they meditate all the time. They love it. Like, it's obviously a recurring theme and it's something we should probably get more involved in.
Yeah,
at least do a few experiments with it.
I mean, it'd be nice if people are listening to this pod, it'd be wicked if because we don't really know much about meditation. So if any of you guys have like an idea about meditation and stuff like that, if you recommend us some books, or, you know, even, you know, it doesn't have to be books, because me and Swift are all very much about like all this, you know, modern media and stuff, like internet media and shit like that. So if you guys have books, then, you know, recommend us those. But if there's any cool videos or any cool articles or anything to do with like meditation,
trying to jazz it up a bit.
Oh, fucking hell, where's my head gone? Any meditation stuff, then just send it to our usual shiz, and then we'll give it a look over, because I would like to sort of delve deeper into this sort of subject. You know, what's quite funny is he was going on about deeper, and we have to dial 9 for deeper. That's 9 times the amount of deep. That's a proper inside joke. Oh dear! Basically, I'll have to explain this joke because it's too inside. There used to be this phone call thing that you could call up. It's kind of like 118118, which is like you call up and you get directory services, and they ask you like, what do you want, and you say, can I have the number for the hospital in Great Baddo, in like a place, and so they give you the number and they put you through. But there was like a little bit of competition popped up, and there was one called Maureen. And she was like, oh, she's cheap, like that. That was actually the advert. And obviously, me and Smith naturally ripped the piss out of that. And we were doing stuff like, oh, dial 9 for deeper, Maureen. And
no one understands.
It proper got over the top. And then when Robert Wagner started chatting about 9 times as deep, I was just fucking into tears.
We were whacking out the Maureens in the Baptist church.
In the church, in the front row. With these people sitting next to us that were well into it proper, and there was a whole row of people behind us well into it.
Yeah,
we were just like, oh, Maureen.
Like, exactly. And because of the situation, we didn't look like we were mentalists, because the kid to my right was doing constant checking his hands during the whole Robert Wagner talk,
and he didn't even have shoes on.
And I was just like, oh mate, we're in our element here, like everyone's just reality testing.
And some of the questions, people, like one poor girl was like, basically, I lucid dream, my eyes open, I can't tell what's the difference. Going absolutely mental, poor girl. And Robert,
obviously these guys are really experienced, but like sometimes they must get like he goes to countless lectures, he must get proper thrown by these questions.
These
like
crazy questions, like one time I cut my own foreskin on the off in my dress. I don't know how to put
Robert, it. I just keep jizzing every time I wake up. I jizz. How can I stop this? He's like, well, I told you it'd be 9 times more effective. Like, I feel sorry for him sometimes having to ask these questions, but he does it well. He's got the humour.
He has got the humour. He looks like a very, very tolerant bloke. It was a fucking amazing experience. So thank you very much, Robert Wagner, for obviously, I don't think you're going to listen. I don't know what, you know, whatever. I've got your card, but... You know,
oh mate, he was a great speaker, and I'll definitely to another one of his events.
So if anyone does get the chance to go see him, you should really support him, and also make sure you check out his book as well, Gateway to the Inner Self, Lucid Dreaming, Gateway to the Inner Self by Robert Le Wagon Wheel, and that's Robert Wagner obviously, and make sure you check that out, guys. He also does the Lucid Exchange, which is like is it a monthly or bimonthly?
Quarterly or something, but quarterly, it's free, free magazine.
It's a quarterly like newsletter, but like pretty chunky newsletter, like it's a cross between a newsletter and a magazine hybrid type thing. So, and that comes through on your email. That's got massive amounts of Lucid Dreaming juice. I think that's at luciddreamexchange.com or something. Is that right?
Yeah, I'll post it on the face.
Yeah,
I'll post it on the site. It's on our website.
Hang on,
somewhere.
Yeah, we haven't even chatted.
Oh fuck! I forgot about that.
Fuck me in the arsehole. This is ridiculous. Basically, I forgot that we've released a massive website. Took us ages, and we have been juicing everyone over about it, and it is finally released. You can check it out at www.get-or-dash or whatever you want to call it, lucid.net, and we're posting all our new content there. So we've written articles, we've got, you know, guest articles from Sean Oliver, we've got loads of Lucid Dreaming video links, and basically we just want to kind of make it a bit of a Lucid Dreaming media hub, so that when people don't have a place to go and they're bored and they want to check out some Lucid Dreaming jizz, get that lucid.
There you go.
So we have released it, so it'd be wicked if more people signed up. We have got quite a few members already, actually. There's been some absolutely fucking mental posts in the forum.
Yeah, the astral projection one, I'm loving.
Yeah, the astral.
And I saw there's some so really good, interesting videos on there as well.
People are really getting involved. It's been a bit inactive because this is the problem, me and Smith are so busy, but we've proper decided to really knuckle down now and start getting back into the lucid dreaming.
Mate, I've been so busy. Like, I had to rush my Asda shop this afternoon to get for this podcast. I was running around Asda's picking up onions and celery, getting here quickly in a sweat.
Massive sweat.
massive sweat. I'm sweating still, but I think that's just due to the excitement. Oh,
and the intense heat that England's just suddenly started kicking out. Yeah. It's been so poor, but now it's all right. But yeah, so please guys, check out our new website. We did hype it massively, so we really hope it's sort of hits the standard that we kind of said. We love it, we're really proud of it, and thanks to the guys at Juicy Webs for working round the clock pretty much for like a week to get that sorted. Yeah, it's been an awesome experience sorting it out. We kind of want it to grow a bit. Like, we have got content in the works, and like I said, we are going to really try and focus on the Lucid Dreaming stuff now. So there should be a podcast from this episode onwards each week. If there isn't, then we're going to specifically state that there isn't. So hopefully we'll get back on track now and start doing regular podcasts again, because I'm proper juiced for it and I've got the time now again. So
exactly,
now, we've both finished the move, we've finished the website, we're settling into our new...
I've started going to bed early, getting more hours in, you know.
Get the dreams on the go, you know, not yeah. responsibility, you know, everything's starting to flow back better. So hopefully, I'm feeling pumped, frothing at the fucking chops, mate.
Mate, sometimes I cook my dinner, I cook two meals in one night, and then the next day, I don't have to cook, so it gives me more time to focus on dreams.
That is how dedicated...
So like I make two dinners in one night sometimes.
That's so outrageous.
That's how I fucking roll, bitch.
Oh dear. Well,
if you do want Tom Smith's cooking recipes for lucid dreaming, I will be uploading some recipes soon. Recipes. Chicken fillet and onions.
That's another massive inside joke. Oh dear. Yeah. Fuck me. Sound like Delia Smith.
Yeah.
Right, we have got a few questions. We have got a few questions. There's been quite a few what I would call remnant questions that we kind of have lost or forgotten to answer. But we've got one from Michael Saunders from tonight. That was on Twitter. He messaged that to Twitter. So that was...
Oh, we're getting deep in Twitter now as well, aren't we?
Amazing. We'll go on about that at the end, though. Michael Saunders, who I know, actually. Mike 2. No one else is going to know that. But yeah, he's not as good as Mike 1, but name's Mike 2. He says, drunken lucid dreams, have we got any notable experiences with drunken lucid dreams?
Oh mate, very very few. You're more of a drunk lucid dreamer, aren't you?
Yeah, I do. I actually find it really 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 fucking easy to have wilds.
not pissed,
like I've had my not full night's sleep, but I've had my drunken night's sleep, and then I kind of wake up, feel really hungover, eat something, drink something, watch a bit of TV, you know, if the lad's around, we'll piss about for a bit, and then I'll be like, right, I'm going for a nap, and that's when I come back and have like an attempt at a nap, and I always wild, and I don't know, should we call this a technique? The beer induced
go out on the lash and then have a wild.
It's the wild, mate. It's the beer induced lucid dream. So the technique involves getting fucking well pissed, dancing with as many women as possible, and getting nothing out of it because you're too pissed. Dribble down your face, go to have a kebab, go to
have
bed.
A kebab.
Yeah,
chili sauce.
Wake up feeling it like a piece of shit, and have some water, have something to eat. Then go back to bed about an hour later. and attempt to have a wild, and it seems to work. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because you're so knackered or because, you know, like I almost get hypnagogic imagery when I just close my eyes when I'm that hungover. Like I just close my eyes and I get I've had a real weird experience like about a year ago when I used to work at Wilkinson's. I was proper hungover, and bear in mind I was doing shifts this was like when I did the Saturday shift, which was 6 o'clock at night, so I was still hungover at 6 o'clock at night. And I put my palms on my eyes, like, and closed my eyes and sort of sat there. It was about an hour before I had to go to work, and I thought, right, I'm just gonna sit here because I'm such a mess, like. And and I had this crazy hypnagogic imagery that I've never had in my life before, where like patterns would come, and then they kind of like involve me in the pattern, and then I felt as if I was in a dream, then it would just suddenly disappear, and because I kind of scared myself, and I almost woke up and it would happen again, but then I'd have like faces, like loads of faces like around me. And ever since then, I've had like really strange experiences with drunken, like, but, well, not even
it's probably drunk, like, you know. It's probably the fact that it's also like a lack of sleep, yeah, as well, because you go to bed so late, so your body's deprived of sleep. So when you go back to this nap, you're catching up on all this REM that you've missed.
Yeah.
because it's like an extreme version of a wake back to bed, really. You have such deprived sleep.
But has anyone ever studies of dreaming whilst massively pissed? I don't know, have you ever read a study about that?
Me? No, mate. Like, you're the only bloke I know who does it.
Well, I know I do wake up and, I've had dreams when I'm drunk, but they're difficult to remember. But it's not really, it's more, I wouldn't call them drunken lucid dreams. They're more hungover lucid dreams. If you want to be pedantic and, you know.
Mate, I don't see how you could get the awareness and become lucid if you're absolutely battered.
No, I don't know. I mean,
it'd be fucking impressive.
And I'd love it would you be pissed in the dream as well? Would you be stumbling around?
Yeah, of course. Because
why though? It's a physical thing. It's not a mental thing. It's physical, isn't it?
Well,
I mean,
it definitely hampers your awareness.
Yeah, in the physical realm. But does it hamper your awareness in the other state? I don't think it would.
Well, it might have an effect on the actual dream environment.
I don't know.
Like, you might have the dream beer goggles on or something like that. I don't know.
Well, maybe not that, but actually thinking about it, Smith, I do remember having. This was a long time ago before I got into lucid dreaming. When I was quite pissed, I remember lying down. You know when you get the spins where the room just spins and spins because you're that drunk?
Yeah.
And I remember falling asleep with the spins. And I remember the dream being very spin orientated. Like, I was trying to move around and it was very, the ground was really wobbly and disorientating. And I kept losing my balance. And I suppose that's. That sort of side of it could work, but I don't remember myself being drunk in the lucid dream. In the dream, sorry, it wasn't lucid.
Yeah. Well, I guess if it's the most prominent thing that's on your mind before you go to sleep.
Yeah.
So, like, if you've just massively thrown up and passed out and you have a dream, then you're just going to be a sick dream, like, just sick everywhere.
Well, you maybe, I don't know.
I
haven't done the study. If anyone knows about the study of alcohol.
Who's going to do that? We're the only one who's going to do that.
True. Maybe we should start doing stupid shit like that.
The results would be ridiculous.
They would be. It'd just be me and you saying, nope, didn't work this week. Try it again next week.
I nicked a bottle of Bailey's, went to bed and had my stomach pumped.
Oh, dear. Fucking hell.
Why Bailey's?
I don't know. Bailey's is horrible. It's more...
Yeah, I know. You're definitely going to be sick. So rich.
You're rich. Oh, dear. Well, right, we've got another question. This one's more about, once again, wilds. And it's cool because... I kind of wanted to read this one out because it ties in with the article that I wrote about wake-induced lucid dreams, and I kind of wanted to talk about that as a topic a little bit before we sort of give our shout-outs and talk about some surprise guests that may be in the pipeline. But the question was from Isabella Ray, and she says how she has a wee dilemma, about trying to get lucid by having wilds. She's nearly got there, but just as she's about to, she realises that she's going into the lucid state and she wakes herself up. Or she concentrates on getting lucid and then just ends up falling asleep completely. She knows it's probably impatience, but it's frustrating nonetheless. So she was wondering if we had any tips for her. I did write an article about this. In fact, I'm actually going to get it up a little quickly because it's quite... You might as well. You can check out this article on our new website, which, like I said, is get-lucid.net. And the article was about the myth, what I dubbed the myth of the wild. I thought I'd chat to you about this because I haven't really had a talk to you about this in a while. And that's how the wild technique is so prominent within new lucid dreamers, even experienced ones that have had a lot of lucid dreams like ourselves, but don't really concentrate on the wild technique anymore. And it's not really saying that they don't exist. It's not about that at all. And it's not about lucid, not never being able to have wilds whenever you want. You know, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking more about how there's so much hyperbole on how easy it is to wild and how easy the techniques are that people just think that they can go into them and they're not frustrating, they're not difficult because they are probably the hardest thing to do in lucid dreaming.
Yeah.
So,
I mean,
what's your opinion on the wild?
It is I think initially. With lucid dreaming in general, it's a massive learning curve. Like, so much to take in, and to take on wilds, it requires a bit of. Well, everyone is different, so you know, some people might have this. With me personally, wilds took a lot of patience at the beginning. I'd spend a good half hour to an hour lying in my bed, being consciously aware and trying to go to sleep consciously. And I'd end up just lying in my bed for an hour, not being able to go to sleep and getting quite frustrated.
But how...
You get into this cycle of getting annoyed with yourself.
But how many times have you had a wild when you've actually set out and truly sat down and said, right, I'm going to have a wild now. This is my wilding time. Have you really done that before? Or?
I don't really... I have sort of focused on wilding before, but usually I focus on... I focus on being aware and intending to have a lucid dream, be it a dialed
dildo
or a wild. You know, I don't really, I'm not too worried about how it happens. I'm just focusing my intent on being aware of what's going to happen next and being aware that whatever I see or whatever experience I get is going to be a dream. And that be my reminder, that be my anchor, so that's the last thing that sort of goes off when I drift off to sleep.
So basically, and you're kind of saying what I did in the article, how wilds, you don't really attempt to sit down and like go through all these techniques that these people say on the internet, you know, like, oh, now you've got to go through sleep paralysis, now you've got to go through this, now you've got to go through that. And you think how many questions me and you get that are actually involving the wild, like
all these little hurdles you got to jump to get to the wild, like watching out for these signs. I think it's might because I'm a bit lazy, but I kind of read into it, but I never really focused on it.
Yeah.
All I basically took out of a wild is you clear your mind of all the bullshit. So like you're not getting swaying left and right and therefore getting lost and going to sleep without knowing what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
I just took the fact that like you've got to clear your mind and basically just fall asleep. I know it sounds stupid, but
no.
I focus on clearing all the junk out of my mind. And I think I kind of got used to my body falling asleep because I did these long stints where I was like trying to have a wild, and I get used to the physical sensations of stuff going on, but I'd never really get anywhere.
Yeah.
I just focus on falling asleep and making sure everything out of my mind is empty. And then, if anything started weird happening, I'd just go with it. I wouldn't start analyzing it or, oh, this is that technique or this is that hurdle.
Yeah.
I just let it happen. Like, my body massively started vibrating one day, the first time I had a wild, and I was just like, I didn't really know about it, but I just let it happen. I knew that like what I was doing was a bit freaky, but I didn't intend to expect what was going to happen. I just went with it.
Yeah, and that's
you
pretty
just gotta go with the flow.
That's pretty much what I was kind of trying to get at in this article, was rather than it being about how you know, the wild, pretty much what people do is they define it and they set it out like rules in stone that like the wild, this is the wild technique and this is what you have to do for this technique and this is how you achieve lucidity and how, and they almost set it out as if it's like a step-by-step guide that everyone can follow and then they'll magically become lucid like after they've done it. And I think people almost romanticize this idea of the wild, and we get so many questions, and I'm serious about it, like we get way more questions about the wild than we do anything else out of everything. And it's quite crazy, like, because the amount of times we've discussed it on the show as well, purely from the fact that people, you know, there's obviously a big interest in it. And what I kind of was saying in the article was that people should just let it go, basically. Like, when you first start lucid dreaming, it's really cool that, you know, you've got a goal to, like, try and wild. But me and Smith both found out pretty rapidly that you can't take these techniques to heart, and you've got to kind of like feel your own way through it. And I think that's kind of what Robert Wagner was saying at the talk, wasn't he? Really, he was sort of saying how there's a lot of like lights, you know, all the reality tests and stuff like that, but he said the key to it all was really just becoming more aware.
Yeah, I mean, like when someone mentioned reality
tests, it was brilliant.
It was kind of like a bit cliche.
Mm.
And like, he's like, I've been trying the light switch test, and he's like, oh yeah, the light switch
and
test.
I mean, you
yeah.
were going, oh, classic.
Classic, yeah, classic light switch. And she even had the old thing where the fuse had gone.
Yeah.
I was like, oh mate, that classic. Is like 101.
That is brilliant.
So it was just interesting to see his reaction. That was a bit of a side dish, but it was interesting his reaction on reality tests, that he kind of, I think they're great at the start, but when they get to that level and that sort of age of experience, these guys seem so focused on meditation and awareness, being aware throughout your day, getting rid of that to-do list in your mind when you go to sleep, all this stuff that you're worrying about, just clearing yourself of all thought, really. And it sounds a bit weird,
No. I mean, that's what meditation is, really. I mean, the things that people really should be aiming for, I think, is almost meditation. Like, if you kind of want this experience of inner peace and inner tranquility, then meditation's probably a way more important skill to study rather than, you know,
reality tests.
Well, no, sitting still at night and hoping that you go into sleep paralysis or falling into a dream.
The thing is, it's a form of meditation. That's
exactly.
You're doing a world, you are basically meditating. And it made me just realise, like, it's funny because you focus on clearing your mind of this thought and like all these sort of random things that come into your head, and they can get a bit surreal, but stuff that's really not important, really. You're just trying to keep awareness, and you go into the dream, and say you do have a world. As soon as you have a world, you're in that dream situation. You're like, oh yeah, what should I do now? Should I go flying and shall I break this thing? Shall I eat a chair?
Yeah.
Shall I do whatever? Why not? Why do we just instantly, we kind of go into that mindset? It'd be really nice if you could keep that sort of clear sense of thought, like that, just sort of just not letting stuff enter your mind and just sort of leading you off. It'd be nice if you could keep that clarity whilst you're lucid, because then you could probably really do something constructive within the dream rather than us going around fucking me throwing bricks and chairs at a wall and listen to heavy metal music. If I had carried that across, it could really probably have created something quite cool.
So, right, this is like a bit of a conclusive little thing here I'm going to ask you, right? I'm going to say, what, you know, because Isabella's asked us, what is our tips for wilding? So bearing in mind what we've just said about how the whole technique and you know, the classic technique and all this stuff, what would your tip actually be to someone that asked you about the wild?
I would say meditation.
There you go.
Because it's training yourself to be comfortable with getting rid of the chatter. You're training yourself to get rid of all the chatter and all these incoming thoughts for like 5-10 minutes. And then, you know, if you can develop that and carry it across when you want to do a wild, because that's basically what you're doing. You're getting rid of that stuff to stop you going to sleep without knowing what's going on. You're just getting caught up in all this random thought.
I think that's probably the best tip that you can give to someone. Either that or just forget about the wild.
But I
one day you'll
how,
have one.
I understand how hard it is to meditate initially, even for 5-10 minutes. You really do notice.
The inner dialogue is stupid.
I mean, I know we chat shit now, but in my head, it's just fucking, it's like Jerry Springer or something going on in there. It's just stupid stuff going on, just chatting.
And also, I always find like I daydream so heavily, you know, like I'll think of something and then that thought will develop and thought will develop and then it becomes like almost like quite an intense daydream. And then I'll be like, I'm trying to clear my mind here and I'm fucking acting out some bullshit in the part of like 4 years ago or something, and you're like,
I know, it's totally off the cuff, like you don't know what you're going to get sometimes. But I'll say this, like it will feel difficult to start, probably for the first week and a half of like doing it. Like you'll get frustrated because you'll sit there, you won't feel comfortable, like you got to feel comfortable, but like you just internally you won't feel comfortable with being alone with your thoughts. You'll kind of start thinking, what's the point of this, why am I doing this, this is stupid, I'm getting all these thoughts. But then you got to take a step back and say, you know, well, who's saying this is stupid and why am I thinking this? You just got to be open to it and try and clear that chatter away.
It's just ego.
Because, you know, I could sit here on this laptop now and watch a 10-minute YouTube clip, or I could sit down on the floor and just clear my mind, you know, and if that meditation practice is going to have a knock-on effect on my dream career and also my waking life, because it does, like, you're going to be more clear-minded because you're not getting swayed by these random thoughts throughout the day. You're definitely much more aware of the situations that you're in, and be it in a dream world or reality. So it's probably worth you sitting down for 5-10 minutes and meditating, even though at the time you're like, what's the point of this, is stupid, because you're getting frustrated with the chatter in your head.
Well, I think that's a really good tip, man, because I think personally that's way more on topic to the wild technique than all the bullshit that people read and all the overcompensation for you know, this romanticized, hyperbolized technique. So basically, so that was wicked.
Oh mate, crack a joke out.
Oh no, I love the seriousness.
It's a fucking fucking banquet over here.
Sorry, I can't help it, just too much inner juice. But yeah, well, fuck that. We've we've chatted to our heart's content about serious shit. So quickly before we start doing our shout outs, I'd like to quickly chat about we're massively running over time, but fuck it, we haven't been around for a month, yeah. So hopefully you guys enjoy this one anyway. But we've talked to Steve McGuigan, I think that is how you pronounce his name. But you know how dog shit we are. We get comments about it all the time about how poorly we pronounce names.
It's you. You're bad with the names.
Mate.
I'll bang on.
Who asked me today? Who asked me to pronounce a name that they couldn't pronounce? Yeah, that's you. That was you.
Oh, yeah. Shit. You
exactly. So, fuck you. And anyway, Steve is park creator with, I think there's two of them. I can't remember the other guy's name. I'm really sorry, mate. But yeah, Steve Park created the Remy, which is the mask that's available for people so that they can try and use it as a lucid dreaming tool. So it flashes like LED lights in your eyes, so you can kind of try and use that as a physical to mental sort of state transition, so that you can, when it flashes the lights, it might metaphorically sort of do something in the dream. You know, quite bright or red, and because of that, then you become lucid. So these guys, I think
it's just been released as well.
Yeah, it has. I think they had like a limited release, and then soon they're going to have like an actual release. I'm pretty sure it's something like that, but I know it's around $100. and you can find it at sleepwithremy.com. I think. Give me 2 seconds. I'm actually going to confirm that because I don't want to muck that up. but it looks like a really cool product. Like, right, hang on. Give me 2 seconds.
Get it up.
Come on. Come on. Work. Please work. Yes, I've got it right. It is www.sleepwithremy, and you can spell that REMEE.com. And it's basically like a ridiculously techno sleeping mask. So, check that out, guys. And
they do look pretty cool.
Yeah, they do look really cool. And you can also put your own little custom ones on it, so we could do like a little Get Lucid one, Smith. Have our own Get Lucid ones. Be wicked. We'll try and get Steve on. I have been talking to him, and he does seem very keen to come on. We've just got to sort out the logistics of getting everyone involved, but that's fine. We'll sort that out. So hopefully we'll be able to bring him and chat about that a bit more, because it's quite a cool little topic, really, especially the fact that he's actually quite in with the lucid dreaming Reddit sort of community. So that'll be really cool to just chat about the internet and how lucid dreaming sort of socially becoming this niche community. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah. It'll be awesome.
Right, so you got any shout-outs this week then, Smith?
Well, yeah, no, just a casual shout-out to Robert Wagner. Thanks again for the talk, mate. Absolutely loved it. Shook his hand. It was great. He's really good bloke, really funny. And so if anyone can ever check out any of his live talks, I know he goes all over the place. So
yeah, he does.
If you have a look on his blog or something, just type in Robert Wagner and have a look.
It. Well worth it.
Yeah, because he goes all over giving lectures and seminars and stuff.
I mean,
and workshops.
This is a bit silly to say, but I think he's probably one of the best talkers.
Seen DJ LeBee yet.
No, but I'm not talking about his breadth of knowledge, because he might not necessarily be the ultimate guide to lucid dreaming. I just mean he was a wicked entertainer, like crack jokes all the time, made it really fun and entertaining. Those two and a bit hours proper whizzed by completely.
Yeah,
so yeah, thank you. I'll say thanks to that as well. That was awesome.
And the guy who actually organised this talk, Todd Akamises, I think that's how he pronounced his name. He's a really, really good bloke, and I've seen him on both these chats before when I was with Jürgen Zeist, and he's got loads of experience with OBEs and lucid dreams. I'll post a link on our Facebook so you guys can check out his website and some videos, because he really is knowledgeable on the subjects, and he's a really big player in the community. Like, he contacts all these big guys to come into these chats. Yeah. So,
well, I mean, what we could do, Smith, is probably if we try and do some sort of event thing on our new website, like an event calendar.
Oh,
you think that's a good idea? We'll try and do that so that people can see all these things, and they can even post their own events onto the calendar. So
I like that.
Talk to the Juicy Webs blokes and see if they can get that sorted.
Because they've done enough.
They haven't done enough. They owe us big time. The amount of we've mentioned them on the pod.
Oh, dear. Yeah. to get a free website. Exactly. Well, good.
So, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, again, hopefully we'll get Todd on the show as well.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And if he wants to bring Robert Wagner along, you know, that'd be lovely. But it's up to him.
Wicked. Any more shout-outs before we...
I'm done. I've had enough.
All right. So I'll carry on then. Thanks, everyone, for listening today, because obviously we haven't been around for about a month. But this is it now, people. We're back. Officially, properly back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the website's done. We've finished the moves. We've settled in the new jobs. We're ready. We're juiced and we're ready. Oh, so please check out our website. You can find the pod now. It's no longer on the getlucidUK.blogspot or whatever it was. I've forgotten it.
Forgotten it already.
Whatever it was. That's old news now. It's get-lucid.net. Check it out. You can check the podcasts on there. All the articles that we write, or we get people to guess right. We're going to do some videos for you guys pretty soon in the pipeline and all that. We've got
so much in the pipeline.
So
this
much stuff. This pipe's bursting.
It's been growing since we started that episode one.
I know, the pipes.
Fucking oil rig line, it's just ridiculous.
It's like Sim City, mate. Oh, pipes everywhere, what the fuck? Oh, dear. Well, obviously, you can find us on iTunes if you just search Get Lucid. As usual, we're always on the iTunes. We're Facebook, Get Lucid, same thing again, just search it up. We are quite active on Facebook, but we are getting increasingly active on the Twitter, which we've never
actually
really
started getting involved with Twitter. It's actually quite good.
And that's basically, you can find, I've just did a massive basically there, Smith. You can find Smith's Twitter. What's your Twitter, Smith?
Mine's Smith _ capital Z, little Z, little Z.
There you go, Smith _ ZZZ. Mine is @burstbladder. All one word.
Brilliant.
Hopefully you enjoy that one. Don't ask me where I got that from. Just add it.
It's just out of interest, is the infection clearing up now?
Yeah, I had a lucid dream and I just sort of waved my hands around my bladder. And I woke up fine.
Oh, nice. Lovely.
There you go.
Well, I'm glad it worked out.
You can still email us at getlucidUK@hotmail.co.uk. We will be changing that in the near future, but for now that still works pretty fine. So that's about it, isn't it? Oh no, actually, quickly. Shout out to the fan that came and talked to us on Friday when we went to see Robert Wagner. She recognised Smith's voice when he asked a stupid question and came out.
It was a stupid question.
So thank you very much for saying hello. It was awesome meeting a fan. Never. You know, we've met fans before, but not one that just randomly come up and was like, "You're right, how's it going?" So that was awesome. So thank you very much for that, and thanks for everyone else for sending all the emails and all the love. And we'll see you next week.
Oh,
sweet lucid dreams, everyone!
Get your onions out.
Get your onions out.